Are you resentful, infatuated, or in love? These are three very simple yet key feelings, emotions, things that we can be aware of. So what is resentful? Resentful is when you want to run away. Resentful is when you don't like it. Resentful is sour. It's distasteful. It's disgusting. It's, oh, get away from me. It's vomit. It's vulgar. It's, oh, gross. Get away from me. I don't like you. I hate you. I'm resenting you. It's things that you don't like. Things that you perceive are more bad than good. You think that whatever you're resentful towards, or whoever you're resentful towards, they have more disadvantages than benefits in that moment. They're challenging you more than supporting you. I thought of a funny example the other day. Someone was saying they were tired. Now you get tired if you're resenting the things that you need to do in that moment. So you're resenting something you're doing in the moment. You're resenting something from the past or something in the future. So if you're not in a loving state, you are living in time and space. Now, in time and space, we create a past and a future. If we perceive that we're thinking of things in the past or the future that are more challenging than supportive, right? So it was like 4 p.m. I hadn't had my normal sleep the night before. And I was looking at my schedule and was like, okay, read your book, do some writing, post online, reflect, stretch, and meditate. That was the things that I had left in the day. I felt so tired because I was like, oh, I've already had a challenging day past, and oh my God, how the hell am I going to do all of these things? I have no energy because I've already been challenged so much. Oh, I kind of resented doing all the things that I did this morning because I see more disadvantages than benefits. Hence, resent. So I said to a guy the other day, a heterosexual male, I said, because he was saying he's tired, and I said, oh, okay. When you're tired, it's because you perceive there's more challenge than support, and you're resenting your life. You're resenting something. You have a nightmare, and which you're comparing to a fantasy. And he was like, oh, okay. Yeah, what, I don't really get what that means, but I'm following you. And I said, okay, so if you're tired and you perceive more challenge than support, then what if I put you in a strip club surrounded by super hot chicks dancing on your lap and whatever? Would you still feel tired? And he goes, oh, no way, right? I could wake you up. Well, if you're a young male heterosexual, I could wake you up in the middle of the night and surround you with on a yacht full of girls and money and whatever you want, drugs, alcohol, you know, if you're into that sort of thing, if you're a party guy, then you'd be like, whoa, I'm going to have so much energy, right? If you're an older business woman and I say to you, hey, you're going to have to wake up and change the diapers, they're going to be like, oh, no, that's gross. But I'm going to say, hey, one of your top elite clients is going to call you at 2 a.m. in the morning. Is that going to be okay? And they go, whoa, yeah, that'd be awesome. Because they perceive more support than challenge. And they may have a bit of infatuation, but it's probably, if it's something they really love, then they love that they get to have this call with the business from Tokyo at 2 a.m. So when we're tired, it's because we're not in the present moment. We're resenting something either in the past or in the future, and we're not being ourselves, and we're out of balance. We're perceiving more support or challenge, right? So that's resent. What's infatuation? Infatuation is the opposite. Infatuation is when you perceive that there are more good things than bad things towards this thing, this place, or this person. So just before, I was looking across the park. There's a park across the road from me. I was looking at the park, and there was like this. Occasionally, I'll look over and see, okay, is there people there? What's going on? Are there people working out, or are there people with lots of dogs? What kind of dogs are they? So I'm like, oh my God, there's a puppy. Holy shit. And it was like a little brown ridgeback puppy. And I was like, holy shit. Right. So I had a moment of infatuation because, get this, I was distorting time and space and going out of the present moment, because in the present moment, time doesn't exist. In the present moment, I was pulled out of it and I was thinking, oh, I'm going to go over and say hello to the puppy, and that's going to have more benefits than drawbacks. I'm infatuated, right? Because I'm going to, and then I did go and say hello to the puppy, and I was nervous. I was like, oh my God, how do I play this? Do I just run straight up to them and say, oh, I had my dog as well. That would have been funny if I just on my own walked over there. You could still do that. I would do that. But the thing is, when you're infatuated, that's when you start. If you're thinking you're infatuated with the future, then you're going to be resentful of the past. Because if you perceive something has more benefits than drawbacks, more good than bad, nor more support than challenge, then there's something in your past, right? Because if we're out of the present moment, we're distorting space-time, we're projecting our mind, our thoughts into the future. We need to compare that to something in the past. So I'm resenting something in the past of something to do with other pup. I think this is what it is. It's before I've seen puppies at the park or puppies that I've wanted to say hello to, but I haven't had the courage to go up and say hello, and you know, because they might reject me or they might think I'm weird, or you know, it might use up some other time. So I'm actually resenting my memories from the past where I didn't have the courage to go up to the puppy. So now I'm seeing a puppy. I'm like, oh, I've missed out on an opportunity, because before it was more bad than good because I missed out. So now I have the opportunity to do it. And I've just been racking my brains and reflecting so much on this idea, this concept that nothing is missing. All energy is conserved, everything is connected. And it's the law of conservation. Law of conservation. Nothing ever changes. Oh, sorry, nothing is ever created or destroyed. It only changes form. Therefore, nothing's missing. The energy is always there. And I read this thing the other day, Demartini book, How to Make One Hell of a Profit and Still Get to Heaven. And he's talking. He's basically in the book. He's connecting spirit and material, spirit and matter. Spirit is like heaven. Matter is money, which some people perceive money as evil, you know, the root of all evil. And you know, it's, oh, they're fucking rich assholes, they're a drug dealer, or you know, they're an idiot, or they take advantage of, you know, right? So that's matter, is people think it's hell. But he was saying that we only see electromagnetic radiation, which is vibrating at a frequency, and everything vibrates in the universe, but we don't perceive, we perceive a very, very small portion of it. So we see about 10% of the vibrational frequencies. I know we're getting a bit crazy here, stay with me. We perceive only 10% of actuality. Now, lower frequency, they are things that are hard, and you can touch, and you can see, and you can feel. They're more material, right? As you go up in higher frequencies, you know, if you went to a fucking Joe Dispenza meditation retreat where everyone's meditating, you're all getting to a state of a very high frequency, a high vibration, where there's a lot more love and a lot more light, where you feel you have a lot of energy, you're vibrating fast, you see both challenge and support, pain and pleasure, good and bad, at a faster rate. That's what a higher vibrational frequency is. But the problem is, once we get above a certain vibration of a certain frequency, we don't actually, we can't see it. We can only feel it and sort of have our intuition guide us to it and be, you know, when you're in a state of love, which is what I'm getting to, you feel like nothing is missing. If your child has just been born, if you've read an incredible quote, if you're listening to beautiful music, if you're just got achieved a big goal in your business or in your personal life or in fitness or in health, or, you know, a moment of absolute love and gratitude, you have no words to describe it, because there are no words to describe it, because all words distort the truth. All words cannot, you can't explain, you cannot put into words that amount of energy in fucking words. It's not, that's why when people create music or art or dancing or whatever it is, they're combining not only words, but, you know, sound and touch and feeling and smell. It's combining everything, whereas words, you can't describe it. And that's what love is. Love is, you cannot describe love with words. And that high, so back to what I was saying with the vibrations and the frequency, the higher the frequency, the more love that you have, the less judgment you have, which is the spiritual, right? So at one end, where things are hard, it's material, it's a low frequency, so the matter isn't moving, right? Because it's stuck, it's matter, it's material, it's a low frequency, it's like barely moving. Then you go to the other end of the spectrum, which is spiritual, and that's the spirit. That's the things that you cannot perceive. That is light, that is enlightenment, that is where you feel the most amount of love. Now, going back to in the book, he was explaining that both matter and spirit are a vibrational frequency. They're the same thing. They're just vibrating at a slightly different rate. And I was like, holy shit, it's all the same. When I have, because I used to feel ashamed and guilty and feel unworthy and undeserving of money. And I feel like as soon as I had the money, I needed to give it back. I needed to put it somewhere. I don't deserve it, right? Unconsciously. So I keep sabotaging and then growing it and sabotaging, and I've always like, I'll make more money, but I spend more money. And I put myself in all these precarious situations. Like, why is this happening? But it's feedback to tell me that in the past, I'm resenting myself. In the future, I'm infatuated. I'm infatuated with getting all of this money, but I'm resenting the fact that I've received all of this stuff, all of this money or other forms of value, but I haven't given enough back. So I'm feeling a lack of fair exchange, unworthy, shame, guilt, because I feel I've received something for free. I feel like I've received something for nothing, which is a fantasy, because nothing is missing. Right? So, something that I want to close with, that I will close with, is a very, very simple way to determine if you're in, you know, what of those three states are you in? So are you resentful? Are you infatuated? Or are you in a state of love? Now, let me be clear here and define very quickly again. Resentful, you are resentful if you perceive the ratio of good and bad, support and challenge, pleasure and pain are out of balance by slight margins. So you might think that getting a Ferrari is more good than bad, but you might think of 200 benefits of a Ferrari, but you might only think of 199 disadvantages of you might think of 201 disadvantages. So you perceive one more disadvantage than benefit, but you're still resentful. All right, did I just say you resent a Ferrari? Let's flip that and say, I resent that I don't have a Ferrari. So I'm like, okay, what are the benefits of not having a Ferrari? You know, do I have to pay for it? There's maintenance. Where am I going to store it? There's insurance. Where am I driving it? The petrol, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're all of the benefits of not having a Ferrari. Okay, what's the disadvantage of having a Ferrari? Now, I can perceive that there are 201
disadvantages of not having it, but I can think of 200 benefits of not having it. So the ratio is slightly out of balance. When things are out of balance, you're not your authentic self, you're not in your true state of mind, you're not in the transcendent mind, and you are not in a state of love. Anything that is out of balance is not a state of love. When you're resentful to something, all it means is you are either slightly challenged or a lot challenged. Because you ask someone, oh, do you resent that, your ex? And some people go, fucking, oh, yep, absolutely. A guy's an asshole. I hate him. Which is extreme resent. Now, slight resent is someone, yeah. I'm like, hey, how do you feel about your ex? Oh, yeah. Okay, bang. That's instant feedback that there is some sort of resent or infatuation there. Okay? If you are completely in a state of love, then you go, oh, like, yeah, it was a blessing. Like, you're kind of stunned and you just, like, get a slight grin and your face is relaxed and you go, yeah, like, it was a blessing. Like, I learned so much. They helped me do this. I wouldn't have had that without, you know, if I didn't have that, I wouldn't have this. You know, that's the sort of language. So resentful just means it's slightly out of balance and leaning towards resentful and disadvantages. Infatuated doesn't mean rose-tinted glasses, honeymoon phase. Wow, this is the best thing. Oh my God. Like, that's not what infatuation means to me in the context of this. Infatuation just means one more benefit than disadvantage. You could come up with 1,000 disadvantages to something, but if you think of 1,001 benefits, then you're infatuated. It's not balanced. It's not clarity. Okay, so that's infatuation and resentment. Now, what's a simple way that we can determine if we're infatuated, resentful, or in a state of love? Because based on this equation, if we're resentful of something, all we need to figure out is, okay, what are we resentful towards? What are the benefits? What are the support? What are the pleasures that come with that? And then you can bring yourself back into a state of love. So love, and then when you're in a state of love, you realize that nothing is missing. You don't feel the need to do anything except be yourself. How fucking crazy is that? You don't feel the need to do anything except be yourself. Except you don't feel like you need to be yourself. You just are yourself. Right? So, for people, this example works mostly for people, but you can also translate it to something else, to a book, to a place, to a holiday, to fucking whatever. Now, if you go to talk to someone and you have to think, what am I going to say before you start talking to them, you're infatuated. If you resent someone, you go up to them, maybe you're angry at them, you're resenting someone, you talk before you think. Very simple. So I used to have, you know, sometimes I do have a tiny bit of anxiety. And so let's go back to when I'm like 16 and I'm at Macca's with my friends and I'm like, okay, I want like a McChicken with a vanilla milkshake, a vanilla thick shake. And I'm like looking at the girl that's behind the counter, and I'm 16, I'm a virgin, I'm pimply faced. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to talk to a girl. Holy shit. Right. I'm infatuated. I perceive more benefits than drawbacks to this individual. So you walk up to the counter and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm infatuated. There's more benefits than drawbacks to this girl. And you're trying to think of something to say before you take action. And speak the words. Have you ever done that? Where you're like, you have to make a call, you have to talk to someone, and you're like, oh my God, what am I going to say? Because you're infatuated with them or the idea that you need to be perfect and you can't make mistakes or be rejected or be humiliated. The truth of it is, there's benefits to all of those things. The greatest thinkers, the greatest minds, the greatest teachers, the greatest cultures, they have all been rejected, humiliated, berated, isolated, bullied. You name it, and they've experienced it. So it's not, the more that you love yourself and the more you're in a state of love, the more accepting and willing you are of new experiences that allow you to grow your authentic self. If you start growing your infatuated persona, you're growing something that's not you. Imagine you've got a tree that's planted in the forest, and instead of going up and watering your authentic tree, you've then planted a fucking weed next to it, and instead of watering the tree, your authentic self, you're now watering a weed. So every time you're not your authentic self, you're not in a state of love, you're watering and growing the persona, which is a mask, it's a facade, it's a bullshit, it's a fantasy, and it's a nightmare. Because your persona is, I'm going to be nice all the time. That's a fucking persona. The nightmare is when you realize, oh my God, everyone's taking advantage of me. I feel like there's an unfair exchange of value. I feel like this is fucking bullshit. And then you become your own nightmare because now you're not nice. And you have a fantasy of being nice, but now you've snapped at someone and you're being mean. So now you fucking hate yourself and you're your own nightmare. So you'd stop going over to the fucking weed where you're infatuated, where you're resentful, and watering the weed. Fuck watering the weed when you find yourself seeing more benefits than drawbacks, you're infatuated. When you find yourself resentful, more disadvantages than benefits, then stop and think, okay, before I take any more action here, do I have some time in my calendar, some time to just think, what are the benefits of the thing that I think is resentful? What are the drawbacks of the thing that I'm infatuated with? And let me balance it out. Let me get into a state of love so I can be myself and actually grow my authentic self, where I can experience more love for myself, more love for others, and I can feel more love from others. I love all of me. I love all I see. I love all that sees me. That's, say that to yourself every day, if you want. So resentful is when, let's say there's someone you dislike, there's a boss at work. Oh yeah, this is a good one. Imagine there's a boss at work and you're resentful. You don't like them, they're an asshole. They bully you, blah, 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 blah. You're dramatizing, you're creating a story, you're bullshitting, you name it. What's going to happen if he comes up to you and he challenges you and you've fucking had enough? Are you going to think before you act, or are you going to act before you think? A lot of aggression, a lot of anger comes out of resent, and we start fights because we're not thinking before we act. When you act before you think, you're resentful. So again, you can sort of think about that in relation to talking to other humans. You can also think about it in other situations, because it can get a bit complicated. If you're infatuated with going on a holiday, you will act without thinking because you're infatuated with the idea of the holiday, right? So there's basically a more simple answer is, if you act without thinking, or you think without act, sorry, let me say that again. If you act before thinking, or you think before you act, you're not in a state of love. When you're in a state of love, you act and think at the same time. So with humans, with going on holidays, with your family, with, you know, taking your dogs for a walk, with seeing a puppy across the road and wanting to go hang out with it. Acting and thinking at the same time. Now, I might as well just, you know, if you don't like the episode, you can just skip it. How about that? But seriously, thank you if you've been listening this far. Thank you. I'm inspired at the moment to put out some more content, and I'm just pacing back and forth in my room recording this. Hopefully there's no tech issues. I'm going to have some people helping me with technology and the easiest simple systems and stuff to use in the future. So yes, look forward to plenty more content to come. And I have some exciting things coming up as well. So yeah,
I'm just going to continue my rant. So that's why I said if you don't like it, you can skip it. Because I was so here's a real time example of me last night is I was doing a Facebook Live in my private group, which I will upload tomorrow. If you want to keep listening to the podcast, or this will be the that will be the next episode of this in this podcast series. And I got to the end, and I was like. I ended it and I was like, oh my God, I was babbling on way too much at the end. I was talking shit. And I'm just thinking in my head, bro, if they don't like it, they'll just fucking click out of it. Like, why do I have this idea of perfection in my mind where it's every single second of every video and audio and any content that I put out must all be perfect? Because perfection is the only way. And I'm like, dude, shut, like, come on. I've been going over my goals lately and really projecting out, like, I'm getting a lot more clear on sort of my 10-year timeline, my 10, like, basically planning out every day of my life for the next 10 years and all 10 areas of my life. Oh, actually, no, I've that's probably 4 years I've mapped out my goals for 7 areas of life, which has taken me, you know, fucking almost 3 years to come up with clear goals in all 7 areas of my life. So please, if you're at the beginning of your journey and you're just learning about self-mastery, then yeah, don't just start shit. Just literally come up with, okay, mental, physical, spiritual, social, familial, vocational, financial. What's the one thing that I just would kind of like that I know I'm kind of love the that idea, and just write it down. Like, I literally just wrote in my mission. I updated it before, and I changed my because I keep an ongoing record of how I feel about each area of my life. Which, again, I only started this at the start of this week. So what every month I'm just going to go back and track. Okay, how do I perceive I am in each area of my life? What do I perceive is missing? Because like I said before, if you perceive something is missing, then you're disempowered and you're not your true self. So every month I just go, okay, what rate myself out of 7 for how I'm feeling about this area of my life. And last at the start of the week, it was a one out of 7 with familial. I'm like, oh my God, I'm resentful to and infatuated with different members of my family. I don't, you know, I've just come out of a relationship. I feel like things are missing. And then to this morning, I realized, oh my God, my family, like the most love I have for my family right now is Prince, like my little Afghan hound. I'm like, holy shit, like, and bang, I realized that nothing was missing. So yeah, and I'm creating little plans and stuff. So anyway, back on track, Mitch. Come on. I've been thinking more about my long-term goals and my long-term vision, and it's really kind of stabilizing my mind, and I feel a lot more grounded with my daily actions, and I'm not sort of in that much of a rush. Whereas before, I'd feel all of this pressure, everything needed to be done yesterday, everything needed to be perfect, and I was in such a rush and infatuated with the idea of perfection because I was, yeah, I had a fantasy goals that were too big and too short of a time frame. So my feedback was, oh, now you're going to be infatuated with the idea of getting it done. So you're resentful to how you were in the past. You're not in a state of presence. You're going to be tired. You're going to burn out. You're going to quote unquote self-sabotage, which is actually a self-fucking help mechanism. I don't call it self-sabotage anymore. I call it self-help. Because when I'm tired, it's not, I'm not sabotaging. When I'm procrastinating, I'm not sabotaging. I'm actually giving myself feedback. Hey, motherfucker, your plans right now, your actions right now are a fantasy. It's fucking trying to wake you up. Wake the fuck up. My upper back has been sore for like a year.
I'm not resentful towards that as well. I'm probably out of ratio balance. So I'm probably slightly resentful to my upper back pain, but I'm like, okay, well, nothing's missing. If I'm infatuated with the idea of not having back pain, that's a fucking fantasy. Because the pain's just going to change. And I was like, I wrote down in my journal on my mission, I said, okay, I'm just going to, where is the pain going to be when I don't have back pain? So I was like, okay, my pain is going to be in my intense workouts because I haven't been doing intense workouts. So I was like, okay, what exercise? And I said, the vacuums are such a painful exercise and it's training for my abs. When I strengthen my abs, my upper back releases tension. And I was like, whoa. And instantly, my upper back pain reduced. I'm not fucking kidding you. My upper back pain reduced maybe from a three or four to like, so let's just say a 3 out of 10 to a 2 out of 10. Like it reduced about 10% or 20% or whatever, right? And I was like, wow, this is crazy. And I started to stand taller and I started to, you know, spontaneously take action towards doing my workouts. And I'm like, wow, because if you want something because you feel something is missing, or if you want to get rid of something because you feel like you don't want it, it's a fantasy and the universe is going to fucking beat you up until and give you feedback until you realize, oh my God, nothing's, it's just going to change form. Oh my God. So yeah, it's this model of thinking where it's like, okay, am I in a state of love? No. Okay. Am I infatuated or am I resentful? And it's such a simple way to think about things and get a more of an understanding of what's going on that's going to help you to perform better, to think sharper, to not be scared to talk to people and share your message and plan things and do things that you would love to do instead of doing things because you feel you have to, need to, should do. Woo! Thank you for listening. I'll just keep going. So I feel something else you can do based on the thinking and the acting, taking action, thinking and taking action, is, are you more of someone who likes to sit back and think, or are you more of a doer? You like to take action. I think it's interesting because everyone we meet is actually helping us to balance out the things we perceive are missing, or the things that are unconscious in us will be expressed consciously through others. So I'm really good friends with Bronnie. And Bronnie, when we first met, she did lots and lots and lots of taking action. She was all about taking massive action fucking yesterday. And I was all about thinking. I just wanted to fucking sit and think, right? And I wasn't taking any action, which I thought is so interesting. So the more that each of us do our own work and help each other and talk to each other, the more that I'm now acting and thinking and the more she's thinking and acting. So it's fucking so interesting to me. So are you more of a thinker or more of an actor? Because if you're thinking, figure out what are you infatuated about? What do you feel you need to think about before you take action? Because you're probably scared of not meeting your fantasy. That's certainly for me. I had big fantasies, big goals, big dreams, and I wanted it to be perfect and I wanted it yesterday. So I was scared to take action because what if I fail, then it's not going to meet my fantasy. And I intuitively knew I was going to fail if I did that. So I didn't take any action until you build up enough pain to create a real goal within a real time frame. And then you act and you think at the same time and you constantly reflect and edit and refine your plan. Now, are you someone that takes more action than does thinking? If that is the case, then you perceive that you're in a rush and you don't give a fuck and you're just resentful to how you were in the past. And you're like, fuck that. I just realized that. When you think more than you act, you're infatuated with the future. When you act before you think, you're resentful of the past and you're trying to run away. So you, because you're trying to run away, you take more action. If you're infatuated with the future, it's a fantasy and your intuition knows that it's a fucking fantasy. So you're going to be forced to sit and think before you take action because you need to think about what you want and how you're going to get it. And you're thinking, oh, well, I can't, how am I going to get this? I can't, oh, I'm just going to stick to my normal habits and just keep thinking and hoping and hinting and waiting for things to be perfect before I achieve what I want. So yeah, I'm going to finally end with that. My voice is going a bit dry. Oh my God, when I got COVID, 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago? Yeah, 3 weeks ago. I woke up in the morning and had a sore throat. So now, and I'm resentful, I'm going to do that. I'm going to write out what are the benefits of having COVID, because there were so many benefits. And I actually feel so inspired right now. And that's, I got, you know, 2 weeks of solid rest and thinking and planning before I, so it's actually a blessing to have the old COVID, and it's boosting my immune system. I've got more empathy for others now who have COVID. I'm more understanding. I'm taking better care of my health. I'm eating more food. I'm getting more sleep. Blah, 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 right? Benefit. What are the benefits? So I woke up with a sore throat and then I had COVID. So now every time I have a bit of a sore throat, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I have COVID again. I just like paying attention to those sort of things. So yeah, thank you for listening again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Very grateful for you dedicated Mitch Ping mob fans, crew. If you listen to this and you made it this far, send me a message saying Prince is awesome. Just send me a random message, quote unquote random. Just say Prince is awesome. And I'll be like, fuck yeah, I know you listen to me rant about infatuation and resent and love. And we can have a cool conversation. Because I don't feel anything's missing. You just come into my awareness and it's going to change form and I get to chat to you. And then I just keep working on my mission. So, yeah, send me a message. Let me know anything, any topics, any questions that you have. And I will gladly address them for you. So, it's goodbye for now.